SCP-4612, Not All Gods Decompose. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche famously wrote that God is dead and we have killed him. Nietzsche was speaking metaphorically, of course, of the regression of religion during the Age of Enlightenment, but it does raise a question. If humanity came into contact with an actual God, how long would it take before we killed it and investigated its body? SCP-4612 deals with this sort of question, as the Foundation finds the remains of an entity that seems to have been ritually killed many years ago. Let's take a look. SCP-4612 refers to two related anomalies. The first, 4612-A, being the body of a large, slug-like invertebrate, consisting of white, translucent flesh with elastic texture. The body shows no signs of decay despite centuries having passed since its estimated time of death. It's 10 meters long, 1 meter wide, and lying atop a stone altar. Its anatomy includes six human arm-shaped structures measuring 3 meters in length, each terminating with a hand with 10 digits and a crystalline structure in the palm. A flexible fin travels down the length of the body, and there is a lengthwise incision along its underside, performed after its death. Its blood is bright blue and uncoagulated, and the body emits considerable amounts of Akiva radiation, essentially a quantifiable energy connected to deific entities. It has emitted a steady increase in this radiation for unknown reasons since it was discovered. The entity is housed in an underground structure beneath a provisional site located underneath the wine cellar of Eckert House in England. The door to the vault is inscribed with thaumaturgical glyphs, which, at one time, induced a mild cognitohazard, causing the viewer to ignore the entryway. The underground structure is constructed of stone blocks, many of which are charred and warped from heat. Cuneiform glyphs of unknown thaumaturgical purpose are etched onto the surface of many of them. The second anomaly, 4612-B, is a humanoid entity of average build with eyes that glow a bright blue. It has demonstrated the ability to manipulate thermal energy as well as anomalous strength far beyond what is expected given its height and build. It has referred to 4612-A as its father, despite being two distinct species. We're then given a memo from the director of the provisional site, Iona Varga, concerning the origins and significance of 4612-A. Through broad historical survey, numerous events categorized as a backsliding of technological capabilities have been identified. Many of these instances have grounded explanations by historians, but some do not. We're provided a short list of recorded appearances by the entity in the historical record, coinciding with such a technological cultural impediment. Around 2000 BCE, renditions of the entity were put on Sumerian pottery, inviting speculation related to the interference of the entity in Sumerian culture, and raising questions about the end of that culture's dominance in the area. Around 1100 BCE, after the great conflict between the Mechanites and Sarkic in the Bronze Age Mediterranean area, most of the fabled technology of those who followed the Broken God vanished instead of affecting the progress of Bronze Age technologies. The entity matches the description of ancient scrolls apparently written by a Mechanite priest previously interpreted to be a mythical representation of Sarkic bioforms. Around 200 BCE, the culture of the Davites vanished after being defeated by Chinese forces. Archaeological digs have revealed murals at a Davite ritual site dating to this period depicting a creature that can be interpreted to be 4612-A, again raising the question of the entity's involvement with that culture's end. Recent historical documents originating in a monastery on Holy Island in England describe a demonic creature matching the entity's description, appearing in 412 CE, and journal entries found in a burial site from the 14th century in Sicily describe visitation of a spirit causing outbreaks of black plague in the surrounding area. The spirit described matches the appearance of 4612-A. The entity was discovered on December 19, 1986, while Foundation agents surveilled a known member of the Serpent's Hand, an anomalous group of interest dedicated to removing the veil between the normal world and anomalous. The agents followed the member onto the grounds of Eckert House and observed her performing an unknown thaumaturgical ritual to enter the door to the underground structure. The agents then pursued her and witnessed her kneeling before the remains and weeping. Upon seeing the entity, they detained the person of interest and called for reinforcements. An MTF mobilized and arrived 8 hours later, accompanied by Agent Rebecca Douglas, a level 3 psychometrist, capable of experiencing associations, images, and other sensory information from touching an object. A survey of the site revealed no obvious anomalies other than the cadaver of the entity, along with 23 corpses of human males of various ages surrounding it. Most of the corpses were significantly desiccated, charred, and had skeletal structures partially incinerated. Several of them were dismembered due to blunt force trauma, and Agent Douglas noted substantial psychic trauma present in all human remains on site. We're provided an interview between Director Varga and the person of interest, several months after her apprehension. The individual appears disheveled and pale, and doesn't respond to Varga's questions about Eckert House and what she was doing there. Varga remarks that they can do this for weeks, as she belongs to what's little more than a terrorist group, and they don't have the Geneva protocols here. Varga gets up to leave, but the individual finally speaks, saying that she doesn't know much anyways. She knows that the original master of the house was an occultist, and the house was named after him, she thinks. She ran across reference to his reaching out to the Wanderer's Library and wanted to investigate. She didn't know what she would find. Varga asks how she found the sub-basement under the structure, as there's no record of it. The individual says that she surveyed the building and viewed the door by using a thaumaturgical working. Varga then asks if she knows what species the cadaver is, and the individual just asks in turn, what species is a god? Varga asks if she really believes it to be a god, and the individual says that it was an alien entity that was ritually butchered, asking in turn what Varga would call it. Varga simply replies that it's an anomaly, causing the individual to shake her head and put her head on the table. Varga then asks what she's not telling them, as the librarians are supposed to be big supporters of the dissemination of knowledge. The individual says that she knows that the timing was important, and asks what happened here in the late 1770s. Varga looks at her notes and says that she's a geneticist and xenobiologist, but she remembers reading that the Industrial Revolution started in England around that time. She asks what that has to do with a non-terrestrial cadaver, and the individual just says that she doesn't know, but that she came here to find out. The occultist mentioned by the individual is believed to be William Henry Eckert, the initial owner and resident master of Eckert House. He was an active member in several occult societies and held regular meetings of such societies at his home. He made his fortune mining iron and copper, with local historians having theorized that he was investing in the burgeoning movement towards industrial revolution. Records from the Yorkshire Historical Society mention a meteor strike occurring on the evening of September 17, 1779, causing significant damage to the house, although the structure doesn't currently exhibit damage that would be caused by such an event. Eckert was last seen by his servants entering his library on the morning of the meteor strike and was considered dead after the incident. No mention of the underground structure or of the entity are made in the historical record, although local legends note that a man made of fire was seen walking out of the ruined house after the impact. were provided a letter that was written by Eckhart to a member of the Occult Society, retrieved in a raid upon a Serpent's Hand stronghold. It reads, 5th of May, 1779. Good Anthony, I hope this letter finds you well, my friend. I grow concerned with the others of our society. Our brethren must understand the grand scale of our endeavor. Any cost that comes forthwith will be well earned, whether in pecuniary losses or in our very blood. There is an inhuman entity that holds our lives in its grip. We have no choice but soil our hands if we wish our great empire to thrive. If we turn from this task, what will happen to future generations? The library has allowed our supervised review of many tomes, and I have recently found a ritual that was once used to bind a god and should suffice for our noble purpose. Please, my dear friend and collaborator, speak with the others. Remind them of our sacrifices and what we stand to gain. The consequences of our actions against our adversary will pale when compared to the great advances we can achieve for the human race. We must push on. Your friend, William Henry Eckhart, Society of Yorkshire Thaumaturgy. That certainly sounds like a letter we'd read in a horror game before seeing some really messed up stuff. Attempts to move the corpse of the entity proved to be unsuccessful, as it exhibits a density far beyond what would be expected, and it's estimated to weigh over 26,000 kilograms. The altar where it's lying is assessed as anomalous, given its ability to hold the body without losing structural integrity. Varga decides that attempting to move the corpse would not be nearly as cost-effective as testing on-site, so Provisional Site 91 is established. Small samples were surgically removed from it for ease of testing, showing that the entity has a cellular structure not matching any entries throughout the Foundation's biological database, and it seems to be based on a blending of carbon and silicon. The sample was exposed to electrical current of various charges, alpha, gamma, and ultraviolet radiations. It showed no change in its state, absorbing them and showing no signs of degradation or decay. Visible wavelengths of light, as well as infrared, are not absorbed, but produce rippling motion in the structure of the fin running along its body. Residual energies exposed to the sample of flesh have been observed emitting from the crystalline structures present in its hands, and transmission of energies from the sample to the body occur instantaneously. It's theorized that the crystalline structures were used to conduct energies in an unknown process. The lengthwise incision along its body emits significantly higher Akiva radiation than the rest of the body, and the ritual or surgical procedure was apparently interrupted, as indicated by the bloodied palm prints along the length of its body. It's theorized that the corpse was to be used in a thaumaturgical ritual of unknown purpose. X-ray imaging of the corpse is impossible, as the remains absorb radiation, but ultrasound examination and portable MRI scans have shown a complete lack of internal organs. Its body is made up of fibrous muscle structures and a vast nervous system with nodules of unknown utility. Varga puts in a proposal to the O5 Council for experimentation using its genetic material, but approval is still pending. Given the lack of information that physical testing has produced, Agent Douglas submitted a proposal to Varga to use psychometry to scan the remains. Varga agrees, and the two gather around the corpse to conduct the test. Douglas touches the corpse in silence for 2 minutes, before saying that it's faint. She can feel something just under the surface, but something's blocking her. Varga suggests that maybe the event was too long ago for much to be left, but Douglas says that that isn't it, as there's enough psychic trauma in the stones of the hallway to give her a headache. She says she has an idea, though, and asks Varga if she's squeamish, before plunging both of her hands into the incision up to her elbows. Varga takes a sharp breath, but doesn't say anything. And then Douglas screams. A psychic shockwave emits from the corpse, shattering the bulbs in temporary lighting set up around the chamber. Varga activates two light sticks and asks what's happening, but Douglas doesn't respond, just slumping to her knees with her hands still inside the corpse. Varga asks again, but she's interrupted by a shimmering blue light emitting from the body as figures appear throughout the room, including a hooded individual identified as Eckert, standing over the corpse. He's holding a knife in the air, chanting loudly in garbled Aramaic, as the audio quality is poor and the chanting is indecipherable. He sinks the blade into the body, slicing along its length, and continues chanting as he slips one hand into the incision, overlaying himself onto Douglas's position. 20 or more other voices rise up from the other figures in the room, matching Eckert's chanting, as he holds the knife up, covered in blue blood. The knife begins to glow a dull red as a bright light engulfs the room, and the structure shakes significantly. The ceiling crumbles inwards, and a beam of bright light illuminates the room momentarily. When it fades, a new individual, 4612-B, stands a few feet away, dressed in a long cloak and wearing a tricorn hat. He shouts at Eckert, asking him what he's doing, causing Eckert to stumble backwards and drop the knife, asking what he is. 4612-B just tells him to step away from the body of his father, asking if murder wasn't enough for him that they had to desecrate his father's corpse. Eckert is sweating, turning to look at the other figures, but none support him. He says that he had no idea, and he didn't even know it was a he. The individual asks why he dissects his body, and Eckert just says that they wanted to use it for a ritual to produce miracles. The individual asks if this is his miracle, pointing to the corpse, and says that they killed the only living thing that truly knew him. Eckert tries to argue that it wasn't their intention, but he's interrupted by the individual stabbing him through the chest with his hand. A shower of blood and viscera splash onto the floor as the individual tears Eckert's body in two, both halves starting to smolder and burn as they fall to the stone floor. He looks down at the burning corpse for 30 seconds as the other figures start to scream, and some of them flee towards the exit. The individual looks up, his eyes shining, as one of the figures steps forward. He pleads that Eckert was the architect of this drama, and they had scarce knowledge of his father's existence. They only hoped to improve the lot of all mankind, and begs him for mercy. The individual pauses before stepping forward and placing his hand on the man's shoulder. He says that they wanted to achieve a goal, and so they have, but they didn't consider the consequences. The man's hair and skin ignite, his screams cut off by a strike of the individual's hand. He calls the others apes and tells them to come and show him their miracles. For the next 12 minutes, he kills each of the other 21 figures, using fire and blunt force trauma. After he's finished, he stands before the corpse of the entity, before sinking to his knees, in the same space occupied by Douglas. The blue light from the entity fades, along with his image, leaving the underground structure as it was before, and Douglas collapses. I'm sure I'm not the only one that imagined that scene as coming out of a dark anime. Douglas spent 5 weeks in recuperation, during which she was rarely conscious. A figure resembling 4612-B was seen entering her room on video surveillance 36 days after her collapse. Security staff was mobilized, but there was no sign of him. When they approached Douglas, she was alert but had a thumbprint on her forehead just above the bridge of her nose, which was unable to be cleaned off by medical personnel. During debriefing, she was asked to recount any discussion with the individual prior to the security staff's arrival. She reports that he claimed she was only alive because she was merely investigating. She also claimed to have significant interference with her psychometry, as all she could sense were the following words being repeated. Eckert died for a reason. The search for 4612-B is ongoing. Alright. So we have the corpse of an entity that the Foundation would typically classify as a deity in some form, that's been around for at least several thousand years. Historical records seem to show that this entity was perhaps responsible for regularly preventing humanity from advancing technologically. Eckert was aware of this entity and used a ritual obtained from the Wanderer's Library to bind it amidst the Industrial Revolution. Eckert knew that the entity would have sabotaged the revolution in some way, and so set out to do a good thing, theoretically, killing it and using a ritual to control its power in some way. Where they went wrong, however, is not being aware of the god's son, who wasn't too happy about the situation, and who still seems to be kicking around in the modern day. While the ritual plan was perhaps a bit foolish and optimistic, it does seem like something the Foundation would do themselves in the admonition timeline. Even still, the cultists had no real reverence for the fact that this thing was deific, and neither does the Foundation, with Varga treating it as an anomaly, like all the rest. I think that the Foundation, had they been aware of an entity that was responsible for sabotaging humanity's technological efforts on a large scale, would absolutely have contained it, possibly terminating it if need be. Obviously, this article ends on a bit of a cliffhanger, and that's because it's actually the first in an entire series of articles known as the Hecatonchires Cycle, which delves further into the past of the entity and its son, as well as the future of Douglas and Varga. Perhaps I'll cover the rest of the series in full at a later date, but I think the article works well enough on its own. Most of the time, these sort of things go wrong during the ritual itself, but few expect for the god's kid to show up in the middle of it and Fist of the North Star you and your buddies.